Well, it's been 3 months now since Hurricane Helene hit.
Yeah,
And
it seems like a lifetime ago.
it does.
Yeah.
Life here in Asheville, let me tell you, is far from back to normal. We're tucked away in these mountains, beautiful mountains, but the scars of the storm are everywhere.
Yeah.
Homes were washed away, landslides changed the whole landscape. And we had so many people going weeks without power.
Oh, yeah.
It's been really rough.
It's hard to grasp the scale of the devastation until you see it firsthand.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, I read reports about the Veterans Restoration Quarters being destroyed,
Oh, gosh,
a
yeah.
place that was providing housing and support for veterans.
Yeah.
Can you imagine those folks? I mean, they've already faced so many
Oh,
challenges,
yeah.
and then they suddenly lose the support system that they relied on. It's
Ugh.
just devastating.
It's heartbreaking. And it's not just individual buildings.
Right.
It's entire communities.
Yeah.
Like half the residents from that huge apartment complex on River Road, they're gone. They're just displaced, scattered.
Yeah, they've lost everything.
Everything.
And then you have Biltmore Village, a historic area.
Oh, yeah.
It's charming, the shops and the businesses, a lot of it's just gone,
That's,
washed away by the floodwaters, you
yeah.
know?
And the thing is, Asheville thrives on tourism,
Right.
especially during the holidays.
Yeah.
This year, it's like a ghost town.
Really?
Yeah. Biltmore Estate, usually decked out for Christmas,
Right.
is operating on a limited basis.
Wow.
That famous gingerbread house competition, canceled.
Oh no.
And so many of those unique shops and restaurants, they're just gone, wiped off the map.
The economic impact is just staggering.
Yeah.
Buncombe County is projecting nearly $600 million in lost revenue.
Wow.
That's just a devastating blow to businesses, families, the entire region.
I keep thinking about Jessie Dean,
Oh,
the
yeah.
owner of Asheville Tea Company. She lost her entire manufacturing facility,
Oh, wow.
$500,000 in assets,
Gosh.
all because of the flooding.
Yeah.
And her story is not unique. The
Right.
unemployment rate here has skyrocketed.
Yeah.
People are struggling to make ends meet, and
Right.
rebuilding seems like a distant dream for many.
It's important to remember that recovery isn't just about rebuilding those physical structures.
Right.
It's about rebuilding lives and livelihoods. And that sense of normalcy that was so abruptly shattered.
Yeah, and amidst all this hardship,
Yeah.
there are these glimmers of hope. We've been reading about these Amish volunteers
Oh, yeah.
who traveled all the way from Pennsylvania to
Whoa.
come and help.
That's amazing.
Yeah, they've been building temporary shelters for folks who lost their homes, just giving them a place to stay while they figure out their next steps.
Now, that's a fascinating example of community support
Yeah.
that just transcends geographical and cultural boundaries.
Right.
Imagine a group of Amish craftsmen,
Yeah.
known for their traditional way of life,
Yeah.
coming to the aid of a modern city like Asheville.
It's amazing.
It really speaks volumes about their values
Yeah.
and their commitment to helping those in need.
And what's amazing is they've already built 12 of these tiny homes
Wow.
and donated supplies worth around $300,000.
That's incredible.
And they haven't asked for anything in return.
Really?
No media attention, no fanfare, just quiet, determined commitment to lend a hand.
It's a testament to the human spirit, isn't it?
Yeah.
That even in the face of such widespread devastation, there's this outpouring of compassion and support from these unexpected sources.
It's truly inspiring. But one thing that's been really interesting
Yeah.
is how many folks around here
Right.
are hesitant to rely on government assistance, even
Yes.
with so much need.
That's right. There's a notable reluctance to depend on FEMA aid
Yeah.
in many parts of the affected
I
area.
know
It
why.
seems counterintuitive.
It does it first. Yeah.
Yeah, but when you delve deeper,
Yeah.
it speaks to a strong sense of self-reliance that runs deep in this region.
It's like they're saying, we appreciate the offer,
Yeah.
but we'll handle this our way.
Right.
But how are they managing to rebuild with so much resistance to outside aid?
Yeah.
And what does this mean for the long-term recovery of the area?
Those are questions worth exploring.
Yeah.
What's fascinating here is how this disaster has exposed
Yeah.
the cultural nuances of a community, revealing not just its vulnerabilities,
Right.
but also its deep-seated values and coping mechanisms.
Okay, let's unpack this a bit further.
Okay.
What are some of the factors contributing to this reluctance to accept government aid?
Okay.
And how is it impacting the recovery efforts on the ground?
Well, it's a complex issue with roots in self-reliance, mm-hmm. maybe a bit of mistrust of government,
yeah.
and a strong desire to rebuild within the community on their own terms. Mm. But the practical realities of rebuilding after such a catastrophic event are undeniable.
Right.
Let's delve into some of those complexities next.
It's fascinating, isn't it?
It really is.
This push and pull between the need for help and the desire to rebuild independently.
Yeah.
I mean, we're talking about folks who've lost everything.
Right.
Yet they're hesitant to accept aid that many would consider essential.
It really highlights the complexities of disaster recovery.
Yeah.
It's not just about providing resources. It's right. about understanding the cultural context, mm-hmm. the values,
yeah.
the historical factors that shape a community's response.
So let's talk about that context.
Okay.
What's driving this reluctance to accept FEMA assistance?
Okay.
Is it purely a matter of self-reliance?
Well,
or are there other forces at play here?
Self-reliance is certainly a cornerstone of the culture here.
Okay.
It's a region where people are used to taking care of their own, handling problems within their communities.
Mm-hmm.
You know, generations of folks here have built their lives on the principle of independence.
Right.
Of not relying on handouts.
So for some, that accepting FEMA assistance might feel like admitting defeat.
Yeah.
Like they failed to live up to that ideal of self-sufficiency.
Exactly. And then there's the issue of trust.
Okay.
Or perhaps mistrust of the government.
Yeah.
You know, this area has a history of feeling overlooked, underserved by the federal government.
Yeah.
Some people here might see FEMA aid as a temporary fix.
Mm.
That doesn't address the underlying systemic issues that contribute to their vulnerability.
So it's not just about pride.
Right.
It's about a deep-seated skepticism towards outside intervention.
Yeah.
Like they're saying, we appreciate the gesture.
Yeah.
But we know our needs better than anyone, mm-hmm. and we'll figure this out on our own.
That sense of community ownership is a powerful force.
Yeah.
And it's what's driving those incredible acts of neighborly support we see.
That's absolutely.
People helping each other clear debris, sharing resources, offering a shoulder to cry on.
Like Tisica Shoach.
Yeah.
Whose home was spared from the storm.
Right.
She's become a pillar of strength in her community.
Look for her.
Helping her neighbors navigate this complicated process of rebuilding their lives.
That's great.
She's organizing volunteers, collecting donations, mm-hmm. and just being there for people in their time of need.
It's a reminder that resilience isn't just about individual grit. It's right. about the collective strength of a community mm-hmm. coming together to support one another.
But let's be realistic.
Okay.
While community spirit is essential.
Yeah.
Can it truly replace the kind of large-scale financial and logistical support mm-hmm. that FEMA can provide?
Right.
How are people supposed to rebuild their homes and businesses,
yeah.
their lives, without access to those crucial resources?
That's the central tension, isn't it?
Yeah.
Balancing the desire for self-sufficiency
mm-hmm.
with the practical realities of rebuilding after a disaster of this magnitude.
Right.
And it raises some tough questions.
Right.
What are the long-term implications of this resistance to aid?
Right.
Will it hinder the recovery process?
Uh-huh.
Or will it lead to more creative, community-driven solutions?
And how do we reconcile the values of self-reliance
mm-hmm.
with the understanding that sometimes
yeah.
we all need a helping hand,
right?
Especially after a disaster of this scale.
Yeah.
Are those values inherently incompatible with accepting outside aid? Or is there a way to bridge that gap?
These are questions that communities across the country are grappling with
yeah.
as they face increasingly frequent and intense natural disasters.
That's right.
The answers are likely to be as diverse and nuanced as the communities themselves.
So, but one thing's for sure.
What's that?
This disaster has laid bare the deep complexities of recovery.
Mm.
It's a process that goes far beyond just rebuilding structures.
Absolutely.
It's about navigating cultural values,
mm-hmm.
addressing historical grievances,
yeah.
and finding a way to balance the need for outside help with the desire for self-determination.
Mm-hmm. And it's a process that requires empathy, understanding,
mm-hmm.
and a willingness to listen to the voices of those most affected.
It's a delicate balance, isn't it?
It is.
Trying to respect a community's fierce independence.
Right.
But also recognizing the sheer scale of the need after a disaster like this.
Yeah.
I mean, how do you even begin to rebuild entire neighborhoods?
Right.
Revive a devastated economy?
Yeah.
Address the trauma that people have experienced without some level of external support?
That's the heart of the matter. And it's where the stories of those Amish volunteers
yep.
become even more remarkable.
Absolutely.
They're not just offering a helping hand. Right. They're providing a tangible solution
yeah.
that aligns with the community's values.
Exactly. These aren't lavish homes they're building.
No.
They're simple functional shelters.
Right.
Just enough to get folks out of tents or temporary housing.
Yeah.
Give them a sense of stability, a place to call their own.
Yeah, a place to start.
As they rebuild.
Exactly.
It's like a perfect blend of practicality and compassion.
It is. And think about the symbolism of it all.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Amish, known for their self-sufficiency
mm-hmm.
and traditional craftsmanship.
Yeah.
Coming to the aid of a community grappling with those same ideals.
That's powerful.
It's a powerful message of solidarity, of shared values in action.
It almost seems like a subtle rebuke to the idea that accepting aid somehow diminishes one's independence.
Yeah.
You know, instead, it highlights the interconnectedness of communities.
Right.
The understanding that we're all stronger when we support each other.
Absolutely. It's a reminder that true resilience
yeah.
often lies in recognizing when to accept help
mm-hmm.
and when to offer it.
Yeah.
It's not about surrendering your independence. It's yeah. about acknowledging that even the most self-reliant among us sometimes need a helping hand.
And let's not forget the burners getting involved in this.
Oh, that's right.
It's fascinating. This unexpected alliance between the Amish and this free-spirited counterculture community.
Well,
it's just amazing.
It speaks volumes about the power of shared purpose.
Yeah.
Doesn't it?
It does.
Two groups,
yeah.
seemingly worlds apart,
right.
coming together to address a common need.
Mm-hmm.
It's a reminder that even in our increasingly polarized world,
yeah.
there's still room for collaboration,
yeah.
for finding common ground in the face of adversity.
It also highlights a crucial point.
Okay.
Recovery isn't a one-size-fits-all endeavor.
Right.
It's about understanding the unique needs and values of a community
yeah.
and finding those creative solutions that resonate with those values.
And that's where the role of local leaders,
yes.
like Tisica Shosh, becomes so vital.
All right.
They understand the pulse of their community,
yeah.
the nuances of its culture, the trust networks that hold it together.
Right.
They can bridge the gap between outside aid and local needs,
right.
ensuring that help is delivered in a way that respects local values
yeah.
and empowers residents.
It's a reminder that while large-scale aid organizations like FEMA
mm-hmm.
play a critical role.
Yes.
The most effective recovery efforts
Yay.
Are often those that are rooted in the community itself.
Exactly. It's about empowering communities to take ownership of their recovery.
Yeah.
To rebuild in a way that aligns with their vision for the future.
Mm-hmm.
And that vision might look different in Asheville
yeah.
than it does in other parts of the country.
So as we wrap up this deep dive,
okay.
let's turn our attention to you, the listener.
Right.
We've explored the complexities of recovery in Asheville.
We have.
The tension between self-reliance and the need for assistance
mm-hmm.
and the inspiring examples of community resilience.
Yeah.
What resonates with you?
Yeah. What are you taking away from this?
What insights can you take away from this story?
Perhaps it's a renewed appreciation for the power of community.
Yeah.
The strength that comes from supporting each other in times of need.
And
or maybe it's a challenge to examine your own preconceptions about aid and recovery.
Mm.
To consider the diverse ways in which communities rebuild and heal.
Whatever your takeaway.
Yeah.
We hope this deep dive has sparked your curiosity,
mm-hmm.
broadened your understanding,
yeah.
and left you with a sense of hope.
Yeah.
A belief in the enduring human spirit that shines brightest in the face of adversity.
I like that.
Until next time.
Yeah.
Keep exploring. Keep learning.
Keep asking questions.
And keep diving deep into the complexities of our world.